Everyone here, it's good to be seen too. Amen. I want to make mention of something. If you walk through our foyer, you probably saw a whole bunch of canned goods. And it is time where we do an annual food drive. And we don't just do it annually, we do it a good bit. But this is probably one of my favorite outreaches. And the reason for that is it is one that everyone can get involved in. You know, not everyone can go on a missions trip or even wants to go, and not everyone can volunteer during the week at Stew Pot to feed the homeless or volunteer for Habitat for Humanity to build a home or go out to our orphanage or whatever it may be that we support. But everyone can participate in a canned food drive. You can bring a can. Everyone can bring a can if you long to do so. You can go in any Walmart, any Kroger, any Sam's and find cans there. And I'm sure there's one at least that's in your price range. Pick that up and bring it here to church. If you can bring 5 cans, bring the cans that you can bring. If you can bring 10 cans, bring those cans. But friends, I want to encourage you, be a blessing. Be a blessing. And this is something that all of us can do. Jesus said, whatever you've done unto the least of these, you've done also unto me. And he was referring to seeing hungry people and telling us to feed them. Friends, I want to encourage you, do what you can do. And when you're going out through the shopping for yourself and for your family, pick up something to bring for our food drive. I think we'll be running it for about a month. And so it's a wonderful opportunity for us to be a blessing to someone. And I know that's exactly what we will all be, a big blessing. Amen? Amen. Open up your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, you can lift up your hands. And our ushers would be thrilled to give you one. If you don't have a Bible at all, now you do. That one is yours to keep. Our goal here is to teach you the Word of God, and so we long to get a Bible in your hand if you desire it. If you don't have a Bible at all, like I said, it's yours to keep. If you do have one, and you just, for whatever reason, couldn't bring it this morning, you can give it back to our ushers at the end of the service. We're opening up those Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. And on the screens, if you can go to 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 2. 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 2 on the screens. We're going to the book of Matthew chapter 4. I had two different messages that I was going back and forth on all week to share. One was in line to what we talked about a couple of Sundays ago in walking with the Lord and identifying the witness of the Spirit on the inside. And you remember we went over three things. We are to respect, recognize, and respond. And I wanted to really hammer at the responding part, that when you sense the Lord leading you to do something, do it. That literally the key to miracles is obedience. When we're obedient to God and walk according to what He desires us to walk in, we can see miracles. And so I had that all written out, and I could have preached that. And then I had another message that was tied into what we talked about last week. The secret to living is giving. And so I had that all written out. But all throughout the week, it just seemed like in different conversations I was having with people, a particular subject kept coming up. And I didn't think anything of it. It was just every time I talk about it, I could sense my heart was longing to talk about it all the more. Well, yesterday I was just praying and getting ready for the service. And my niece Kaylee came over, and she was getting on to me yesterday for not making mention of her enough in service. And so now I'm doing it. I'm making mention of her. She sits right over there on the front row. She's got her hand up now. That is Kaylee. That is my niece. And she came over yesterday, and she was talking about going to summer camp. Our youth group just got back from summer camp, had a wonderful time in the Lord, and I'm excited about what God is doing in and for the youth. And she was talking about that, and we started talking about just walking with the Lord and things that we saw in individuals who walked with the Lord, and then talking about how the enemy leads us off track. And we started talking about relationships and associations. And friends, that's what I feel led to talk to you about today, just real quickly, real briefly here this morning. It's the subject of divine connections. Oftentimes, when God wants to do something new in your life, He'll bring someone or something in your life for you to associate with. Oftentimes, when God wants to do something new in your life and in mine, He'll bring something or someone into our lives for us to associate with, to walk with, to cling closely to. Jesus said this to His disciples here in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. We'll start off reading here in verse 18. It says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And in verse 19, he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I was praying last night, and this phrase kept coming up in my heart. Follow me, and I will make you. Follow me, and I will make you. The people that you follow in life will make up the quality of your life. People, I had this in my notes, so I want to make sure I say it right. People are pathways of power. If you get close enough to them, your life will go down the same path as theirs. People are pathways to power. If you get close enough to them, if you follow them, your life will go down the same path as theirs. Follow me and I will make you. Friends, you have to be aware at who God has called to be in your life. Who He's called for you to cling closely to. The things that He desires for you to associate to and associate with. And you've also got to be mindful of the fact that the enemy knows this power as well. He's not a creator. He just twists what the Lord creates. And the Lord has designed you and I to not be an island unto ourselves. He has designed us to be supplies to each other. And there are people in your life that are called to be a supply, that you're called to be close to them because there's something in your life that the Lord wants to, something in their life that the Lord wants to get in your life. You're to cling closely to them. There's something that they have that you need. I like Paul. He wrote to the church at Thessalonica. He says, "I desire to see your face." Not write you a letter, not send you a tape series. "I desire to see your face, that I may perfect things that concern you." There was something in the church and in the people in the church of Thessalonica needed. They needed some perfecting. And in order for that perfecting to take place, Paul said, "I need to see your face. We need to walk together for a little while. And there's things that I can impart to you that you can't get any other way." Well, God has set that up. He's designed specific people to be in your life to be a supply. The enemy comes in and he twists that. He sees how God will use people to get you in the will of God. I'll give you an example. David with Samuel. Samuel was used by God to get David over into the plan of God. And he was pulled in that direction. Had it not been for Samuel, it would have been hard for David to make that transition. Well, you see, Satan sees things like that. And what he'll do is he'll bring people in your life to pull you off track. Oftentimes, there are wolves in sheep's clothing. They look right. They're saying everything right. But they're not right for you. And the enemy wants to get them so close to you, so you start walking with them. When you walk with them, the spirit that is on them will get off on you. Friends, you can't afford for that to happen. Destiny hangs in the balance. Associations, who and what you associate with, affects the quality of your life. It'll affect your decision making. See, people are blessed with a unique ability to influence. You know, you hear John Maxwell talk about that leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. And there's a degree of truth to that. When people have influence with you, they can lead you into things that otherwise you would never do. And it's designed by God to take your life in the right direction. But the enemy has twisted it, and he'll use it to take your life in the wrong direction. Friends, who do you associate with? Who do you have close to you? Think about Jesus. Jesus had ministry to the masses. And I love this. The Lord spoke to this to my heart a long time ago. He said, everyone should be your ministry, but not everyone needs to be your friend. And there's a big difference between ministry and friendship, who you're ministering to and who you're walking with. Jesus ministered to the masses, but out of the masses, he called 70. Then out of the 70, he called 12. Then out of the 12, he called 3 and walked with those 3 closer than with anybody else on the earth. Those 3 were Peter, James, and John. When you read the Gospel of John, you see John never even refers to himself by name. He calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. Had close fellowship. It would seem to me from scriptures that Jesus walked more closely with Peter, James, and John than anyone else. He had 3 that he had close fellowship with. Who's your 3? Who's your 3? Think about the man born by 4. In a paralytic condition, but had 4 friends who were supplied to him. Who's your 4? Who's your 3? Do you know who you're supposed to walk with? Do you know who you're supposed to be close to? Friends, once you identify them, it's up to you to stay close to them. The spirit that is on them, the attitude that is on them, the personality that is on them will get off on you. Oh, it can change your life forevermore. We see an example of this in 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 2. David was a man mightily used by God. There was a greatness about David. He killed lions and bears with his bare hand. Goliath stood in front of all of Israel mocking them. And David walks out there with a little slingshot and kills the giant. That promotes him. That greatness is on him. The call of God is on him. And Saul takes him and promotes him over his armies. And every battle he gets in, he wins. There's a spirit of a champion within him. Saul not only saw it, but he started getting jealous of it. He tried to kill him. You remember he threw the javelin at him more than once. Finally, David had to run for his life, and he escaped out in the wilderness and was hiding there. Well, word got around in the community where he was at. And people from the community did something. Notice what they did. 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 2. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented. Notice, these are people who at this season in their life don't have a lot going on. I mean, they're struggling. They're in debt. They're discontented with life. But they hear David is somewhere and they make a decision to do something. Watch what they did. They gathered themselves not unto the place he was at, but unto him. They gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and they were with him about 400 men. You know what's interesting? These people, they came to David in a state where they were discontented, they were in debt, they were broken in life, but they got around a man who had a greatness on him. A greatness about him. And they walked with him. And he was captain over him. And if you do your Bible homework, you find out that these men who followed after him later became David's mighty men. You can read about them in the book of 2 Samuel. And you see that they started doing the same things David did. One of them jumped in a pit with a lion and killed the lion with his bare hands. One of them not only killed a giant, but he ran right at the giant, took the spear from the giant's hand and killed the giant with his own spear. How did they do that? They got around someone who was doing that. And the greatness that was on David got off on them. Friend, it's a rare man who sees greatness in men. It's a rare man. But if you can locate people who are great in a specific area, who are living a life that you would like to live, and get around them, the spirit that is on them can get off on you. But you got to associate with it. You've got to make a decision to get around them. Go over to the book of Proverbs. We'll see this principle here, there as well. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, we're going to look at verse 20. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. I mentioned earlier about our youth going to summer camp and just having an awesome time with the Lord. Does anyone want to guess as to why? You know, on the trip, they don't allow you to just take your iPhone and listen to any music you want to listen to. Everyone on the trip is going on the trip for the same purpose, to be with the Lord. So they cut off every other outside influence. You can't make a phone call to call the friends that you're going to school with. You're all around church people. When you get there, you're associating with church many times a day, going in and having services and awesome praise and worship. And it's not just once a week, it's every day, multiple times a day. And even the conversations you're having with other people are conversations about the Lord, and it fires them up. Why does it fire them up? Because they're making associations and they're associating with things that are all fired up. But I guarantee you, if there's any kid who did not make a change on the trip, chances are they were walking with another kid who wasn't either. And those associations, they walked in the same path. Friend, I'm telling you, it's not just youth groups. It is your life. Who do you associate with? Well, somebody says, well, I don't associate with anyone. That's a problem. David had men in his life who were great men. He walked with men like Samuel. He had a friend like Nathan. He had a friend like Jonathan. He had a man who could speak into his life. He had these relationships that were close to him, that improved him, that made him the man that he was. And you know, when David fell, what was happening in his life? He was alone. At a time when kings should have gone out to battle and been around his great men that he had been around for years and years and years, he got up there all alone and made a mistake that cost him. Friends, you're not an island to yourself. You got to make connections. I know for myself, I'm more of a loner type of personality anyway. I don't mind being by myself. And so the Lord often comes and stirs my heart up. And it reminds me, you got to get around these people. There's things going on in their life that you need in yours. You can't just walk out this journey alone and be an island to yourself. You got to make proper connections. In Proverbs chapter 13, we see this principle here in verse 20. Notice, it says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Notice, he says, if you want to be wise, you need to walk with wise men. But even if you're a good man and you're a companion of people doing foolish things, destruction will always come in your life. Why? One is taking you in a path of wisdom. Another one is taking you in a path of destruction. The associations in your life are pulling you the direction you're going in life. You've got to make right associations. I know, I was thinking about this yesterday. In our office of employees, I think we have like 16, 17 employees that are on payroll. I notice that it seems like everyone wants to run. Just run. I mean, it's a phenomenon. Not only has it happened in the church staff, but out of that, just in a couple of weeks, we got a men's running group and a women's running group, and it just seems like people are running. Well, I got to thinking about that, and I was kind of laughing about it, and thinking about how that happened. We've got a guy that we just hired on staff who runs. I mean, he runs. He enjoys running. It's his hobby. I mean, he just enjoys it. I mean, he runs miles and miles and miles. And then we had another guy who started running. And so these guys start talking. Well, the spirit that is on them got off on everyone else. If you walk with runners, you will run. I mean, you go in the in employees and see their screensavers. It's screensavers of people running. I mean, it's just on them. Why? They're associating with people who are running. Who you associate with, the spirit that is on them will get off on you. The type of associations that you put before your eyes and before your ears, even from what you read to what you listen to, the spirit that is on those things will get off on you. Do you see how important this subject is? Think about it this way. One of the most important subjects, in fact, I would say the most important subject in the Bible is the subject of love. It is the New Testament commandment. If you can want to walk in love and you can have a passion for walking in love, but if you're around negative, critical people all the time, people who are criticizing and judging other people, reading magazines that are judging people's hair and makeup and quality of dress and all of those things, that influence and the spirit that is on that will get off on you. Friends, if you want to walk in increase, get around some people who are increasing. If you want to walk in faith, you got to do like Timothy did and get around some people of faith. Timothy had a grandmother and mother who were wonderful pioneers in faith. He had to get around them, though, to get that spirit of fear off of him. Friend, I want to encourage you. Who are you around? What are you associating with? You've got to make a decision not to allow people in your life to pull you in a direction you shouldn't go. Destiny hangs in the balance. Destiny hangs in the balance. Think about all the men and women throughout the Bible. You see, they all had either the right connections and associations or the wrong ones. Think about Solomon. You have a man who's wiser than any other man on the earth. God's blessed him, just incredibly blessed with life and riches and wisdom. And God came to him and said, Solomon, don't go over there and take wives from these other nations. You study it out. Basically, what he was saying was, if you get around them, they're going to turn your heart. They're going to turn your heart from what you should be interested in, which is me, to the things that they're interested in. They're going to turn your heart away from me and to other gods. Don't get around them, Solomon. Don't marry them. And you see, Solomon did not heed God's advice. And he started marrying wives from other lands. And sure enough, they did exactly what God said they would do. They turned his heart. They influenced his heart away from the things he should be interested in and put him on things that he shouldn't be. It cost him, friend. You know how you know, you can tell it cost him? Read Ecclesiastes. You see a man who's lost. You see a man who's just wavering from one point to the next. Why? He got around the wrong people, and those people affected his destiny. Think about Samson. You see a man who the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. I mean, he's blessed with amazing physical strength. There's nothing that's impossible for him physically. He can do anything. The hand of the Lord is on him. But you see, his father wasn't smart enough to keep him away from the wrong influences. And he let Samson just go out with whoever he wanted to. And he went out with a girl who turned his heart, a Philistine girl who had no covenant with God. And he started making that contact, and he got around her so close that you see him laying his head in her lap. There's no one at that moment who's speaking into Samson's life more than that woman. And she's pulling his heart in a direction that he doesn't need to go. You all know the story of it. I was reminded after first service that the Spirit of the Lord left him and he didn't even know it had. That association cost him dearly. God's destiny was not for him to wind up blind and in prison. Yes, God turned his captivity at the end when he killed more at his end than at his beginning. But friends, his life didn't have to go down that way. He made the wrong association. Friends, in your life, it's the same way. There are people that God has called you to walk with. You got to walk with them. You got to fellowship with them. Even some of those people you may never meet, but books and things that speak to your heart. I know there's a book that I'm reading now and have read, but I keep going back and rereading it. I mentioned it Wednesday night. It's Reinhard Bonnke's book, A Life of Fire. He's a wonderful evangelist. Well, my sister-in-law kept calling me, telling me, you got to read this book. Asking me if I'd got it, and I put it off and put it off and put it off. And finally, I got it. And friends, I kid you not. I kid you not. God's been speaking to me out of that book, and I can tell there's an impartation that's being given to me. Well, that's something I'm to associate with, that I'm to hold close to. There's something that he has that I need. There's a spirit that's on him that I need on me if I'm going to run my race. Well, it's the same way with you. It doesn't have to be just people you know, but when you sense something pulling at your heart, someone tugging at your heart, you need to be around them, get around them. Let your heart be sensitive to them. Walk in their ways, and that spirit that's on them will get off on you. But sometimes it's not God leading you into who you need. He's leading you in who you need to get away from. Like he did with Abraham. Separate yourself from your kinfolk. I know you love them. I know they're good people, but they're not good for you. You need to get away from them. And you see, he did that. He walked away from them, but he took one of them with him. He took his nephew Lot. And he carried him with him. And it cost Abraham. God could never get him over into the big things he had for him until after that Lot was separated from him. I know there are times in my life, I was telling first service, there's a man that I'd gleaned from for many years just gleaned from, walking behind him and picking up what he was leaving for me. Been a blessing to my life. And I was thinking about this a couple of months ago on who do I need to be around me? Iron sharpens iron. What do I need? Who do I need around me? I was thinking about this man, this individual, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you are to have nothing to do with him. In fact, the phrase he used is, you are to receive nothing from him. Man, it was strong in me. I kid you not, if he would have wrote me a $1 million check, I'd send it back to him. That's how strong that was in my heart. I'm to receive nothing from him. And man, I kid you not, it broke my heart. I have a deep affection for this man. He's meant a lot to me over the years. But the Lord dealt with me and said, you can't allow him to get close to you. You can't walk with him anymore. And I look back on it now over these couple of months, and I see that the people who were close to him, something came up in his life, in his ministry, and he got over into fighting. And that's a dangerous place to be. He who has clean hands grows stronger and stronger, but bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. And I saw just this fighting on him. And then I saw it spread to everyone out through his organization and hardness of heart and hardness towards the people. And you see that they're starting to decrease. And you could see how the enemy uses things to try to pull you off path. And God wants to guard your heart. Friends, when you sense that, you got to pull away from it. When you sense that, I don't need to be around this person, you got to pull away from him. I'll close with one final scripture. Let's go over here to the book of Kings and we'll close with this. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 2. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 2 is the story of Elijah and Elisha. Friends, when God puts it on your heart to associate with someone, you see greatness on someone and you want to get around them because you want the spirit that's on them to get off on you, you have to follow them closely. What I want you to see through what we're reading is Elisha made a decision to stay close to Elijah. It was not Elijah's job to stay close to Elisha. It was Elisha's job to stay close to Elijah. And when you sensed on your heart you need to be close to someone, it is your job to make sure you walk with them. Notice this in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 2. It said, Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, don't follow me any further, is what he's saying. I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Notice this in verse 4. And Elisha said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, don't follow me anymore, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Verse 6, one more time, Elijah said unto him, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. Now notice this in verse 7. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. Notice that phrase, afar off. And they too stood by the Jordan. Elisha's saying, there's something about Elijah that I need. I'm not leaving him. I'm not leaving him. He can even tell me to leave him, but I'm not leaving him. There's something he has that I need. The sons of the prophets needed what Elijah had, but they weren't willing to stay close. They stood afar off. And you see Elisha have a final conversation with Elijah. Let's read what this is in closing. Watch this in verse 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of your spirit be on me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, watch this. If thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it will not be so. Elisha says, Elijah, I want a double portion of the spirit that is on you. The spirit that is on you, I want it on me. Elijah said, all right, if you want it, you've got to do something. You've got to see me when I go up. If you see me, the spirit that's on me will be on you. But if you don't see me, if you're not close enough to see me, then it won't happen. Elisha's destiny was to continue the legacy of Elijah. His destiny was that. And if he would have stopped following close to the person he needed to be tied to, he would have missed his destiny. You see, he stayed close enough and paid the price to walk with that man. He saw him when he went up. And the spirit, according to verse 15, the spirit that was Elijah came on Elisha. How did he get that spirit? Through association. Friends, I'm telling you, the people that you are around, the spirit that they work in is the spirit that'll be on you. You got to make sure that your associations are right, that you're walking with the people the Lord is asking you to walk with, and that you're separating yourself from the people and the things that you know you don't need to be with. Even in what you listen to as far as music, the spirit that is in that music, it can get off on you. And in the book of 2 Kings, you see Elisha stand before a king and they're asking him to prophesy. But he's not feeling any anointing to do so. So he said, bring me a minstrel, an instrument. And as they played that instrument, the Spirit of the Lord moved upon him. God worked through that. It's the same way with you. There's the Spirit of the Lord can work through praise and worship. You've been in praise and worship services where God has touched your heart. He's working through that music to impart something to you. The enemy can do the same thing, friend. You got to be careful what you associate with, what you hold close to. Guard your associations. And if you get the right people around you, friend, it can make all the difference in the world. Look at your life. Whoever you follow, you are made into. Follow.